Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Warming up, getting the second half of April. Summertime's knocking on the door. Enjoy these days while we can. Highs of 82 today and tomorrow, warm and breezy. 84 Thursday, 20% chance for showers. Highs between 85 and 90 on Friday. Saturday and Sunday, 20% chance for showers. Saturday, highs of 84. Then a cold front comes through. High Sunday only of 70. Low humidity. Get out and enjoy it. Same for Monday, because before you know it, and I always use Mother's Day as a reference, I can never remember a Mother's Day where it has not been just hot and ridiculously humid. Stephanie Regal joins us now, business writer for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com. Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Good morning.
So we're going to talk about this charity hospital project. 2005, Katrina comes, and we all know what happens. They say the building is damaged beyond repair, so FEMA... they agree on an amount, and then they build the new university hospital and the whole medical complex, which means you would think that if the charity hospital building was flooded beyond repair that they would have to tear it down. But that's not the case, because there is a project underway, and that's where you join us, right, Stephanie?
Well, more or less, yeah. That's okay. A good condensed version. You know, I mean, the old charity building is not just an old building. Besides being something of a landmark, it's really an architectural gem, 90 years old, beautiful example of Art Deco architecture. And there was an effort by the preservation community, you know, to save it and to keep it from being torn down all those years ago. They originally wanted to try to get the hospital back in there, and that obviously nobody in the medical side wanted to do that. But you know, it's difficult, and we talked about this a couple of months ago, to do adaptive reuses with these big, big buildings. They're just so old and so problematic. It's so, so expensive. Be that as it may, you know, the state came up with this plan in the city several years ago to try to turn it into something else. And they launched a competitive bid process. They ultimately came down to two bidders. This was around 2017, 2018. One group was developer Press Kabakov's company, HRI, which has done fabulous historic renovations all over the country and very successfully. And then another group led by a local multifamily developer by the name of Joseph Stebbins and a Manhattan-based Israeli financial partner named Yoel Sargian, who personally was involved with him in this project. And their partnership, 1532 Tulane Partners, was awarded a long-term 99-year lease by LSU, which is technically the building's owner, to redevelop this thing. And the plan called for getting Tulane University in there to lease maybe at that point a third of the building and turn it into medical offices and lab space, and then to also have apartments and a Sonder hotel and some office space and maybe ground floor retail. And it was really seen as sort of the anchor, the linchpin to the whole redevelopment of this biomedical. Several years later.
Last word we heard was biomedical. It cut out for a second, so pay it up there if you will. No, we want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, it was seen as sort of the anchor of this biomedical district, and it was seen as the key to redeveloping that whole Tulane Avenue corridor. And long story short, 3 or 4 years later now, 1532 has been unable to get the project done. They brought in some private equity money from Boston a couple of years ago. They burned through that with not much to show for it. Last summer, they started working with the New Orleans and New York slash firm Domain Companies, which did the fabulous South Market District down on Loyola Avenue out of surface parking lots a few years ago, and said that they were coming in to save the project, and they've been paying them as fee developers over the years, over the past several months, but still putting the deal together from a financial perspective is very, very difficult because, as I mentioned at the beginning, it's just so expensive. So you're starting to see liens piling up in the courthouse. The general contractor, the architect, and the company that leased them, that giant construction hoist you see in front of the building if you drive by there, haven't been paid. And so far, there's something like nearly $6 million in liens. And that's only what we know about. I promise you from talking to people, there's a whole lot more that's owed on this. And Marlon DeFillo, who you probably remember from the NOPD way back when, he now runs a security firm, and he has filed a civil suit because they haven't paid him about $250,000. So it's just, you know, it's really, it's a difficult deal to do, and right now it's on hold, and it might work out, but I don't know how at this point.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. If we can go back maybe to 2017 or 2018, I don't know who LSU, I guess, decided to go with the Stebbins and Shargian plan instead of Press-Kabakov, who has a track record that's unbelievable. I don't know if you can maybe talk about that when we come back. And also, when you talk about burning through money, how much and what are they doing with it? And this just seems like a giant mess. One question I've always had is that this is a 20-story building, and I always thought it was a, you know, a nod, however you want to say it, nod, wink, wink thing about the building being destroyed with Katrina, because I think the water got in the basement on the first floor, and then they were talking about mold here, mold there, this, that, the other. I don't know, but it just seemed as though the whole thing was kind of far-fetched to begin with. 821 more with Stephanie Regal when we come back. I can opine because that's what I do. She can. She's a reporter, business writer for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, and a damn good one. Time for traffic now, WWL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
825, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Stephanie Regal, business writer for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, and as I said earlier, a damn fine one. Mitch Landrieu had talked about making the charity building City Hall. That didn't go anywhere. Now it just seems, I don't know if it's cursed or what. I don't know how you want to phrase this, Stephanie, but the whole thing, and I know you were in Baton Rouge, you weren't covering the story at that time, but it kind of did strain plausibility, did it not, that a 20-story building was completely destroyed by Katrina?
There were certainly those who felt that way, and there were also those who believed very strongly that LSU just wanted a new hospital building and didn't want to have to use that old facility as a teaching hospital anymore. And there are those
FEMA was paying,
and so FEMA went along and FEMA was paying, and so that's how we got the new University Medical Center. And there was also some talk about Tulane going in there and partnering on it with them. And you know, Tulane and LSU have always had sort of a frenemies kind of relationship in the medical community down there, even though they wouldn't characterize it that way. But, you know, the Mitch Landrieu wanted to put City Hall in there, and there were many who thought that might have been the only way to really make it work. But I think Preskavikov's proposal to the state, to LSU, and to this LSU foundation that ultimately made the decision on which of the proposals to select had been very frank about the challenges that this project would face and the amount of financing it would take from the public sector, you know, and I think he wanted to see a public component to it. And LSU, for whatever reasons, did not. And so they went with the plan that looked and sounded more easier, more glamorous, easier to accomplish. And, you know, maybe if something looks too good to be true, it is.
Yep. But that's often the case I've found in my life, Stephanie. I don't know about you, but especially when it comes to contractors and builders and, oh, sure, absolutely, we can do that. It's no problem. Oh, change orders? Sure. So when you say burning through money, how much money have they burned through again, and what does that mean? What it, like the partial projects or start-stop? What?
They did start some work cleaning stuff out and doing some basic remediation. From what I understand, there has not been a wholesale demolition of the interior of the building. There has been some cleanup work, and they did put that massive construction hoist up there, you know, a couple of years ago to start cleaning stuff out. They've spent something like $70 million, and that money, you know, a chunk of it went to architects, even though the architects haven't been fully paid. They were paid for their initial plans that called for the mixed-use building with Tulane and the hotel and the apartments. There was money, plenty of money that's gone to the development teams, the various development teams that they've been brought in. There's been money that's gone to the lenders, you know, in interest payments. LSU has gotten over $13 million. LSU required an upfront payment of $12 million or so in return for this rights to this building for 99 years, and then annual lease payments of $250,000 a year, which the company is current on. So, you know, there's been money that's gone there. There's been money that's gone to lawyers, to, you know, security companies besides Marlon DeFillo's, just a variety of things. And you would expect at this point that they would have more to show for it, but they don't.
I love this quote from Marlon DeFillo. In your story, it says, each time we would ask for payment, they would say it's coming. Believing this is a state-owned building, I thought, how could things go wrong? So who does own the building right now? The state?
Well, the state, through LSU's Real Estate Foundation, technically owns it. But with a 99-year lease in a business deal like this, it's effectively like selling it, you know? Okay. So, but technically, it is still a state-owned building. They just don't have anything to do with it, or so they say.
Is this project in violation of the lease? Do you know?
Technically, yes. Yes. But, you know, like with all lease covenants, if the leaseholder doesn't want to enforce the provisions, then they'll give an extension or they'll overlook the fact that certain key milestones in terms of deadlines and dates haven't been met. I mean, because what happens if the deal falls apart? LSU's stuck with the building again. It was costing them $1 million a year just to keep it from totally collapsing into the ground. So does LSU want it back at this point? No, they want to wash their hands of it, and I think just hope and keep their fingers crossed that something will work out.
But they could.
At this point, I think it's in Tulane's lap. They could, certainly.
Pull the plug and start
Tulane, they could, and Tulane could walk away. And without Tulane, this deal doesn't happen because Tulane has made a tremendous commitment. Initially, I think I told you at the beginning, they had agreed to lease something like 300,000 square feet, then they upped it to 400,000 mm-hmm. square feet. This isn't a million square foot building. You know, now that they might be asked to take more of it, Domain Companies is trying to work towards some sort of deal that makes their numbers make sense. Tulane wants something that's going to protect their interest if they're going to agree to lease all this space in a building, you know, and how to make it all work. So that's kind of where they are.
If it ain't a mess, it'll do till one gets here, huh? Thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And you work. Stephanie Regal, business writer, Times-Picayune, NOLA.com. We're going to talk about a new loud screechy bird that eats an invasive species. Is it good or bad? We'll find out when we come back. Right now, a minute late, time for WWL First News.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.